Hello. Oh, good. Good. It's working. Excellent. Folks, thanks for listening today. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS. Sitting beside me today is Barclay Knapp, and we're just glad you could all tune in today and check out our show. It's episode number 224, and it is February the 26th of 2019. Barclay, it is very good to see you, and I hope you all can have a good shot here of our Facebook Live video. Feel free to go over there. Boy, we'd love to have some questions. Love to have your comments. Anytime during the show, we'll try to hit those comments in our fourth section of today's show. So to start things off, it's always about music. My guests, I got Great Serve Agriculture, but they've also got some great songs they brought with them. Barclay, tell us about this first song and why you like it so much.
Well, thanks for having me again, Jeff. Anyways, first song, Rolling Stones, Start Me Up. I figure we have kind of a bit of an anthem and something living to pick me up, kind of set the tone.
Okay.
And of course, I don't think the Rolling Stones need any introduction. They're still going strong. I don't know how many years it's been now, how many decades, but longevity is probably the best part of the band.
True enough. Okay, just hit the go and we'll be right back, folks. We'll see you shortly.
Are you ready for this award? Hi, I'm Catherine Enders from the Ontario Farmland Trust. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, you're listening to The Agricultural Show on Sound FM 102.7 CKMS.
There we are. That's better. We're back. Boy, we had a little technical stuff going on the board today, but hey, we're here. We're just glad you're listening in with us today. Barclay Knapp is our guest today, and we have just... Oh, by the way, don't forget to put some comments on our Facebook page at The Agriculture Show. Barclay, that was a great song. Is there any chance in your... Have you actually seen those guys? I mean, they're still going.
Unfortunately, no. I don't get out too much.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Do you like going to concerts? Do you find yourself out to see music or little bars or big name bands?
I do.
What do you like to see?
I was February, you know, a year ago now, I was off to see Gord Banford.
Yep.
And he was great. He was great live. He does a great amount of storytelling. He does a great amount of encouraging and introducing his band.
Mm-hmm.
Just last month, my brother took me to another concert in Hamilton.
At the convention center?
No, the former Cops Coliseum.
Got it, yeah. Anyway, I know what you mean. That's where the Federation had their annual banquet this year, AGM, and it's a wonderful location. So, well, that's good to know.
Dierks Bentley, that's who we saw.
Dierks
Bentley. He puts on a really good show. He's got a lot of energy. He just jumps and bounces around the stage, and he is such a positive guy.
Yeah.
The name just escaped me, But he's great. I'd pay to see him again.
Well, it's good to see you back in the visitor's chair. I think it's got to be 2 or 3 years ago you were here last as a guest.
Yes, yes.
Let's get up to date again. I used to like to ask my guests, so when the Knapp family has Christmas dinner or Easter dinner, how many of you are around the table? Tell us a little bit about, let's review who you are and where you're from. How many people sit around the Christmas dinner table at your house?
Well, both my parents.
Yep.
Myself and my two brothers, one brother is married, and me and my other brother, we both have significant others we haven't yet married, and my brother that's married does have two little ones, so they kind of dominate the scene and the table and what's going yeah. on, and they're pretty fun to watch,
yeah.
So what is that, eight. Ten
that's
of
a
us?
Good bunch, yeah.
Yeah. So,
do you guys have any Christmas traditions? You know, some families go for a skate, some cut down the Christmas tree. Anything that happens at the Knapp household?
We wait till everyone's together before we open presents.
Okay.
So, and seeing the little ones, my nephew Wyatt is 4, and my nephew Weston will be 2 next month.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching them try and hold the whole experience and trying to understand Santa Claus and not even knowing what's going to be under the wrapping, the amazement on their faces, the joy on their faces, the thrill of just ripping off the paper. It doesn't matter what's underneath, just ripping the paper. You forget what it was like to be a child, and it's good to see things through their eyes.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I'm glad you have this, has a friends of mine to sit and watch that, because those little guys be big pretty soon. It's nice to see them, in a natural element, I guess you call it. And home is, you're a Brantford kid, right? Where do you look home?
Pushlinch Township.
Pushlinch Township.
South of Guelph,
right.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy in Pushlinch, as can be?
Well, we all have our ups and downs.
Yep.
You know, we probably heard last month there was, or just around Christmas, there was a spill of jet fuel.
That's right. I remember that.
Just on the 401 there, just by Highway 6 North. And they're still working on cleaning that up.
Okay.
I believe they've found some of it towards Shade Mill down the Mill Creek. And that I wouldn't say people aren't happy, but they are concerned. They have every right to be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, luckily it is winter. We don't know what will affect the livestock or the groundwater because of that. But Ministry of Environment has been doing a lot of work to clean that up.
Yeah. That is a big deal. When you know, the inevitable, not good result of that modern society at this stage, of modern society does have all these accidents that happen. And it makes you wonder, how can we stop this? I guess you should be glad it doesn't happen more often, but every time it does, it's really something to give you a serious thought.
Well, it's just one driver cut off the transport truck, and the transport truck, from what I heard, took evasive actions, and it had undesired consequences.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like things have pretty well stayed the same. I think we can, we'll talk about, I know you have some other things on the go yet, but we'll talk about that in the second part. We just want to get to reacquainted with you and so on, and we've done that. Let's play for another song. What do you got queued up for the next one?
I got Alan Jackson, Remember When.
Okay.
And a little mellow song, but it is a great slow dance song. And
do you remember?
Alan Jackson, that kind of was part of when I was really influential listening to country music growing up. You know, the country music station 820 Cham in Hamilton was always on. We were milking cows and we were cleaning the barn out.
Okay.
And so Alan Jackson was someone very that kind of influenced me when I was in an influential stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. That's a nice memory of when you were back there and doing that kind of work in the farm. Nice to get you know, a few of our listeners will remember that. Okay, go ahead and click that on. We'll come back, talk some more. Thanks for listening in today, folks. Here we go.
Said we'd do it all again. We said when we turn gray, when the children grow up and move away, we won't be sad, we'll be glad for all the life we've had. And we'll remember when. Remember when. Remember when.
Hi, I'm Sue.
And I'm Janet.
I'm from Woodstock.
And I'm from Embro.
We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca.
Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
You're listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio.
The WFA represents the farmer producers in the Waterloo region.
Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo.
The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hello, this is the Tugboat of the Tugboat.ca. Community Radio CKMS is the voice of the people, by the people. I support CKMS 102.7 RadioWaterloo.ca because it's the real deal.
And it is the real deal, folks. And thanks so much for listening in today at the Agriculture Show, episode 224. It's February the 29th, 26th of 2019. Bartley Knapp is in the guest studio, guest seat today. And, of course, you know, I put the guest to work. He's doing a fine job of getting the music lined up and switching cameras and stuff like that. So thanks so much, Bartley, for doing that. We're zooming along quite nicely here. We talked a little bit about what happened at Christmas at the Barclay home, and then we at the Knapp home. And now we're going to talk a little bit about what it is you do. And we had two great songs. So Barclay, what do you tell people? What are you doing these days? Tell us what you're doing.
Well, it's a little bit of a downtime for the produce growing right now. Can't grow too much in the winter outdoors unless you have a greenhouse, which mm-hmm. I do not. Still part-time at Mohawk Racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
We're now 12 months of the year as the standard bred horses are 12 months of the year at Mohawk instead of transferring back and forth between Mohawk and Woodbine. And yeah.
You have an interesting mix. You are working in the dirt, it's all mussy and dirty and cow poop and whatever, and then you put the suit and tie on. Well, maybe not that elaborate, but you dress up for the occasion and enjoy the contrast. What's that like?
Well, I'm still working in the food industry.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the bar and restaurants in Mohawk. And that's a great mix. I get to see the beginning of the product and the end use of the product.
Okay.
I don't actually deal with the customers being inside the bar, which is in the kitchen. But I get to see the chefs. I get to ask the chefs a lot of questions. I get to see all the work they do, how they use food. And, yeah, it's kind of full circle. And I really enjoy that. I really like seeing how food is used.
Very nice. And sounds like it fits your style. You've been doing it for a while. That's good. So you have you're selling. It's a CSA you have, right? You're still running that.
Yes.
What is this? When are the seeds already bought? Like that, I've seen the seed catalogs come out before Christmas sometimes. What part of the process for a CSA are we at now? As of February, late February the 26th.
Well, last Friday was the average date that most people in North America sign up for a CSA.
Okay.
CSA is like a subscription for garden harvest each week, mm-hmm. come summer. Mm-hmm. And some people may have their seeds from the year before mm-hmm. left over. Some people, they may get right on it in December. I'm still waiting for my seed orders to come in the mail. And I'm a little behind in getting my promotional material out yet, so I'm not quite taking subscriptions or signups yet.
Okay.
But I will get there probably in about a week.
Mm-hmm. What's a good number? Do you like, proprietary, but what if someone's doing a CSA, what kind of range should they kind of have it in? It must be, if you're going to be full-time, my goodness, you're going to have a lot of customers. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make it... how do you describe your CSA? Are you mid-sized, small, just for friends?
Well, I would say I'm small. I'm transitioned several years ago from just doing farm markets.
Yes.
And going out on Saturdays to a market in Etobicoke to just staying at home and having people come to me. I want them to, when they pick up their box or what's ready, what's harvestable for that week, I want them to experience the farm and see what's going on and ask me those questions.
Okay.
I'm slowly building up, and I'm slowly getting smarter about marketing, and slowly the word's getting out there about what I do.
Mm. Well, that's key, isn't it? There's no, generally speaking, no quick-to-get-rich schemes. It's just establishing relationships, having a current and a well-priced list of products for sale, and just repeat and rinse till, and then it all comes better together anyway.
Well, it's a learning process every year. Also learning what your customers will eat and what they're willing to try.
Mm-hmm.
I grow several different ethnic vegetables or world crops, as they call them, okra, eggplant, bitter melon, and that's not a common staple in the European-style diet that we have.
Okay.
But that's a market that I was, you know, testing myself and, you know, learning and acknowledging myself when I was at farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, try to introduce my clients to that. Some of them are positive and some aren't. Or something like kale, I grow really well, but there's only so many recipes you can make with kale.
True.
And, you know, it's learning what, you know, they want. I had on my Facebook group just a couple weeks ago, kind of a survey. What would you rather see, kohlrabi or broccoli? And broccoli went out. So I'll kind of take that as kind of an also with the end of season questionnaires is what direction I should look at.
Yeah.
I had a question, a few inquiries in my end of season questionnaires about adding protein. Well, I do have include eggs if you want that option. Well, I've just been inquiring with some area farmers, you know, can I include some of your product to mine?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're getting a pretty good handle on stuff. How do you? Are there trade shows you'd like to go to see what's the latest and greatest, or it's just? I guess everyone finds their own trial by area, what works for them. But where do you go to get your update, your skills, and so on?
Main skills I like is knowledge, and I get that knowledge from other growers, other people doing CSAs mm-hmm. or farm shares.
Right.
I have several friends that are into it, and I will interview them, I guess you could say, just bug them for knowledge,
right.
What works for them and why it works for them and the process they went through. And once in a while, I will go, you know, out of the area and interview someone that I don't know. You know, learn at the feet of your elders, I think is one of the sayings I read many years ago. But and not saying they are my elders, but in knowledge-wise, they are,
yep.
you know, more experienced than me. And knowledge is extremely important because you only get one chance to screw things up or to do a great job when it comes to growing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a two-season growing opportunity like they do in Argentina or mm-hmm. in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of cool what you're doing. You know, you've got the mix of some of your own private initiative, your small business, and then also the benefits of a regular job, a part-time, that does provide a nice... you know, it gives you that kind of bedrock to work on, like having this really risky to do expect all your income from who knows what the heck could happen in your own business, right?
Yeah, it was, you never know what the weather is going to be.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It was quite wet last year, and you get water on leaves, especially basil, and you'll have fungus or mold come.
Right.
Blight in tomatoes. I have to rotate my tomatoes every year just because that blight will stay in the soil.
Yeah. That take all, right?
You never know what the weather is going to be.
Yeah.
I didn't have to irrigate much, but, you know, as you'll notice with your walls and your bathroom, all the tile, you know, you'll eventually get all that gunk and mold on that. And that's the same that happens on plants.
Yeah.
Warm, wet environments is what bacteria, mold, fungus love.
Yeah, that was all over Ontario last year. The guys who were growing corn and beans, especially the corn guys, that was when the rain came, It just it maybe was not just rainy all the time, but it was continued to be humid, and that just really encouraged the growth of in this case vomit toxin, some other really pesky little critters on bacteria and virus on corn plants. So it happens. Everybody's there's a lot of work to being a farmer sometimes, isn't it?
Well, you don't get to see that, and that's not something we brag about either.
True. Let's play another song, Barclay.
All right.
Great. We'll come back with after our third, this next song. We'll ask more about what he's doing about agriculture. But let's talk first of all about the song you picked next. Who you got and how come you like this one?
Okay. As I said a year ago, I went to a concert of Gord Banford.
Yep.
Gord is an Australian, Albertan country singer who grew up originally in Australia and moved here sometime in his childhood. And he loves Canada. He's a great ambassador. The song is Where a Farm Used to Be.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, I've heard the statistic, we lose about 200 acres of agricultural land every day or week.
I've heard that, yeah.
Which is amazing, and especially since you can't grow, food-producing crops just anywhere. But it's easy to build shopping centers and apartment buildings. So it's kind of a song in relation to that. Good, bad, the ugly, it's just a fact of how we live in today.
Well said. Okay, go ahead, press the button, and we'll be right back, folks.
Jam coming and going. I got a discount liquor and a skateboard shop, a 5-bay Jiffy Lube garage, a 10-acre blacktop parking lot, a bunch of wild women, window shopping, a drive-through bank and a Baskin Robbins. Where a farm used to be, as far as you can see, and those wheat rows. '69, it was old grain trucks and combines. Cricket singing in the moonshine. It was jeans and boots and campfire songs. Now it's urban jungle and lit neon. Where a farm used to be, as far as you can see, and those wheat rows and silos grew into busy streets. Yeah, and old MacDonald would have a cow if he poked his head down.
Hi there, I'm Barclay Knapp from Corwin Herbs and Produce in Welton County. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts promotes local news and entertainment through spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goals promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
That's great. Thanks for doing that, Barclay. You're going to be a real good switcher there. You did a great job there. That's perfect. Folks, we just had someone dial into our Facebook Live video, and Nicole Cressman's just joined with us. So thanks for listening in, Nicole. We'll have any questions for us. You can ask what our favorite color is. We'll look at that in the fourth section of the show. And so thanks for doing that, Nicole. So here we go. We're in the third section of the show, and we're here to bridge that gap or do best we can. We have consumers really curious about what happens on the farm, and not only a handful of farmers that can talk about, you know, what life is experienced is. So, you know, I'll pose the question this way. What do you about agriculture? Like, what if some guy walked in our doorway here at our offices, our studio at the old Beamer Box Factory here in downtown Kitchener, and he just said, hey, you guys, what do you know about farming? What would you tell them? What would you tell people about agriculture, our urban listeners?
Well, to quote the Wellington Federation of Agriculture President, Janet Harrop, first you got to let them know it's a business.
Right.
First and foremost, it's a business. Could be a large business, could be a small business. And there's not just one commodity from that business. It could be different ones. You know, you can't just lump farming as in they produce one thing, whether that be pigs or milk or carrots. Farms do all different things. Farms don't all look the same. You have vertical farming right now being tested in different areas, which is interesting to see. Farming is a business that incorporates its environment, land, water, organisms, whether that be chickens, carrots, onions, fungus like mushrooms.
Yes, that's right.
Farming's hard to describe.
Yep. And you're right, you got to make a living at it. We all want to just be able to go on vacation, put some kids through school or retire. And the issue is not so much, technically, as a farmer, you say what you want and it can be done. You want bananas in Wellington County, we can do that. But here's the price point.
Yeah.
So, but that's the whole point. Farmer's not fighting you, you tell us what you want and we can tell you what it's going to cost and we'll figure something out. Have I done that justice?
I won't disagree there.
Have you ever had the experience of, the two ways to look at this next question. So anybody ever asked you, do brown cows give brown milk?
I haven't been asked that, but I have overheard conversations about that.
Okay.
And I know the commercial of the Jersey cows standing picketing on Parliament Hill, that TV commercial from about 5-6 years ago,
right.
I don't think that helped the perception either, or the confusion, I should say.
True. Sometimes, I know when I'm out and about with my friends from town and the conversation gets about agriculture, I do enjoy explaining something that is in the press, and I have the sense that they really appreciate, they have an aha moment, they really appreciate having some a perspective on what that issue does or does not mean. How about yourself? You're right in the middle of it because you're in that special group of farmers who are really front line. They're right in with our consumers. Have you had to explain or had the pleasure of explaining something that an urban person said thank you?
I've had that multiple times.
Excellent.
When I was doing farmers markets in Etobicoke. As Kelly Daynard of Farm and Food Care has said many times, you might be the only farmer that someone from an urban area meets, and don't brush that off. That you know, what you tell them, how you interact with them, that can lead a lot to their understanding and maybe fix some misunderstandings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know when I'd be selling at the farmer's market in Etobicoke, I sometimes would get so focused on answering questions, I'd forget about people lined up to make sales at my booth.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved, you know, filling the wisdom of people, and they just didn't understand, you know, some of the aspects of things that affect agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
such as the whole issues around water quality and water safety. You know, after the Walker inquiry, there was a lot of fingers pointed at agriculture, a lot of changes made or demanded, and what more paperwork required for what we do. Wasn't necessarily, you know, agriculture's fault, but agriculture had a lot of recommendations that came about out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to explain that, you know, that farmers, you know, we care about the water too, and we don't want to harm anybody. We want to give good products. We want to be good neighbors. We want to be stewards of the environment as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that, a lot of people don't understand that. Right. And so, you know, you see their faces and they thank you on that. You thank you after they tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, I had a Green Party activist, they're not activist, supporter, handing out flyers at the market. And she asked me about GMOs and organic, and she didn't like my answers, but she came back half an hour later, and she thanked me for being honest.
That's very gratifying. Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't trying to argue with her. I was just trying to explain things from my vantage point.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very special thing. I think a lot of guys who, a lot of farmers, depending on your operation, you may not see the public on a regular basis because your product goes out the door to further steps. But there you are. Most of us as farmers maybe get those questions on occasion. There you are dealing with them quite on a regular basis, when, especially at the farmers markets, I would think, in a random like that. Good work, Barclay. That's great. What a great story. And, you know, so two things can happen here. You as our listeners or listeners, don't be afraid to ask a farmer what's going on. He'd probably be glad to tell you. And as farmers, don't be afraid to answer these questions. And most people are not out to hang you up. They just want to know what's going on. Yeah. So, you mentioned that's not a big deal nowadays to get our message out to our urban listeners. And Kelly Daynard's been on the show, Farm and Food Care, doing a great job. Most of the commodity groups have outreach. I know the milk and the grain guys do.
Education's important.
Do you go down to the Royal Winter Fair? I haven't been down for a while. I didn't want to put you in a spot, but that's typically a great spot to have a, like, right downtown Toronto. Like, holy smokes!
I go there once in a while.
Yep.
Usually that time of year, I'm so wrapped up with school and then after school and the volunteering and sports.
Got it.
But I have gone. Haven't gone a couple of years, but it is a big mix, and it is a lot of exposure. And I know a lot of parents take their young kids, and that's their first experience, or maybe their only experience dealing with livestock and crops and mm-hmm. vegetables and fruit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't have that opportunity to go to the farm. And I do thank a lot of the schools that bring out their students during the week, and thank the volunteers that do and tour them around as well.
Yeah.
I remember I was volunteering. Yes, there was one time I was volunteering when I was on staff with Ontario Federation of Agriculture. And there was a group of probably 10, 11-year-olds that were standing around the model farm that Ontario Federation of Agriculture had. And it took me a while to figure out what they were looking at. And it was the mailbox. Little things like that we take for granted out in rural areas that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
The same structure as in urban areas. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, just seeing things from their perspective can really help us understand how to understand them better and how to describe our things when we're discussing with them better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good observation. Boy, those little kids sure got an eye for things. They can pick out some of the details way faster than the rest of us who already think we know what's going on, but fresh eyes, huh? Oh, man. Well, good. We're going to, we're going to play another song here now, Barclay, and come back and talk some more. We're just doing just peachy here. It's going to be a great show. Timing's going nicely on it. What's your next song, man? What do you got here?
I have Kathleen Edwards, Hockey Skates. Kathleen Edwards is a Canadian artist.
Yep.
And I found out about Kathleen Edwards. She is on the album for the movie Men with Brooms.
Okay.
Paul Gross is on. Paul Gross is one of my favorite actors, favorite Canadian actors. I could rewatch Due South over and over, the same episodes. I just love that style of comedy.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a melancholy song, but I think Kathleen Edwards is one of those Canadian artists that should have a lot higher exposure than she is. I don't think she gets enough play in the radio, but I do love her voice. I do love her songs.
Yeah. Okay. Click it on. Come back, folks. We'll fresh up that coffee. We're back. Go ahead there.
Going down in the same town, down the same street, in the same bar. Got the same old face, the same eye, and I don't care. Going down in the same old bar tonight, I don't even order anymore. Well, I'm so sick of consequences and I look on your face. I'm so tired of playing defense, I don't even have hockey skates. Don't even have hockey skates. You can meet me at 10:30. Talking about everything I am doing wrong. Do you wish that your nose was longer, so you would have an excuse not to see past? Do you wish that the lights stayed brighter in the city that you live? Well, I'm so sick of consequences and the look on your face. I'm so tired of playing defense, I don't even have hockey skates.
This is Catherine from Oxford County 4-H Association. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
I'm Dave Piper from the North Dumfries Historical Preservation Society. What do I like about community radio? Well, I think it helps create an identity for the local community. And all communities have to have some and need some form of identity to appreciate what's going on around them.
And this is Paul Schultz here at CKMS Radio 102.7 on the FM dial. You are listening to The Agricultural Show.
That's a lot of fun. That's Paul. He was on the show, and I wish I could have his gift to speak like that. It's pretty friendly, eh? Come on to The Agriculture Show, he says. Well, folks, we're zooming along so wonderfully here today. Barkley Knapp is our guest this episode, number 224. It's February 26, 2019. Boy, we've had a good time so far. We've played four different songs. You got one more to go. And we've had a discussion, and we're just going to kind of go over it in this next segment. And this is a time when, you know, I wish I would have talked about it. This is the time to talk about it. So I don't know if something comes to mind as a bat, Barkley, but I'll open up and say and observe you. If you've got your eight folks sitting at the Knapp family Christmas dinner, and you don't open your presents until everybody's there. It's very really nice. And then we talked a little bit about next segment was about what do you do. And so we got the part-time work you're doing at the Raceway and the CSA. Anything else that you're doing? You don't happen to be like a rock climber or something, are you? Oh, you should talk about, why don't you talk about the J. Junior Farmer stuff? That's great.
Okay.
Want to talk about that? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Please.
I do a lot of preservation of the history of junior farmers, whether that's people's memories, interviewing past alumni that were very active, or digitizing photos, pictures, letters, pamphlets, annual reports, budgets. Junior Farmers was a provincial government-run youth program for many, many years, until in the 90s, a lot of programs from the Ministry of Agriculture and Food were dropped, and it has become self-sustaining. I'm not a part of it. I'm too old right now to be a junior farmer, but I'm a part of a group of alumni, work on keeping the history preserved. Much of it has disappeared.
You're doing a great job, because I know there's a Facebook video or Facebook page. It's Junior Farmer
Alumni.
Alumni, yeah. Right? And then you're continuously posting interesting pictures from past junior farmers. Hey, who are these people? What's the event? And just a great job on your part. People talk about, well, somebody should do it, and you are. You're doing that. So,
well, I'm just part of a committee. I'm just kind of the younger one, have a little more energy, but also understand technology. But we have a mandate to preserve a lot of this history, and right now I'm trying to preserve it digitally, find it. And part of our mandate is to put it in a public institution so that it can be accessible to the public. And I've kind of held that up for kind of make everything, digitize everything, try to make a digital museum if I can of what history I can find.
Right.
Or what alumni or alumni's spouses will let me. The government put a lot of money, a lot of effort into it, to making better citizens. And a lot of that history just disappeared with the closing of the Ministry of Agriculture and Food offices back in the 90s. So it's kind of piecework trying to figure out where all the history went. Most of it's probably in someone's closet or someone's attic that's left. And I think that's first clubs were in 1914. So there's a lot of history that's been made.
And somewhere did a great job of keeping all that stuff at one time, like everything, every newsletter, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and I was just showing you last week the 1912 brochure that someone probably just had mixed up with their junior farmer donations to the archiving committee. And it wasn't a junior farmer item, but it was a show, a grain and root show. Root, more or less, I think, being root crops.
Yes.
And more or less, kind of like a fair.
Like a school fair would have been, or you know, the agricultural societies would also have competition for various crops.
Yeah, so it was an Aaron District root fair, 1912, and I just showed that to Jeff last week at a meeting we were both at, and because I'm sorting and going through all the memorabilia, I decided that it probably would be best to go to the Region Museum. Mm-hmm. So that's where I dropped it off in Dune last week.
Very good. Okay. Long to somewhere in the area that's, you know, it's just a real treasure that to have people like yourself who's kind of got to, who's going through this stuff to kind of make sure it goes someplace safe like that. It's a good deal. Yeah.
History's important. Yep. You know, this is an area with a lot of history too. And I know with the Dune Historical Village, just Steckley Farmstead, and other places, it's, you know, keeping your history is important. Even the Schneider House, it's important to keep your history. You'd never know when history become important when you're trying to look back at how everything was developed.
Mm-hmm.
I know, was it last year, the year and a half ago, when they were digging up King Street for the LRT,
right.
They found those logs.
The old corduroy road down there. Yeah.
And to think, you know, that's how people traveled.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That would be really lumpy travel with sitting in a cart or a wagon with no shocks or no springs in it, and then going over logs like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how they traveled. And we've come a long way since then.
So they found that road, I'm going to say, between 10 and 6 feet below grade. So that's all wet.
Wow.
Because Silver Creek runs through there, which was harnessed as a water mill, and now it's underground coming, resurfaces by City Hall. So it was boggy. It was pretty wet, that part of the Will, for a long time. Yeah. But, I just want to echo that what you're saying, how to look back and see that kind of history. Yeah. So you're part of that. That's good stuff. Anything else you're doing? Are you gonna? I asked you about rock climbing. Are you gonna? Yeah, you said you're so darn busy now. Any travel plans this year? If you had a choice, or could get away.
Just over the holidays, I was down in San Francisco in the Bay Area down there. So I think that's my traveling for a little bit.
Mm.
That was a good trip.
First time down there.
First time in California.
Very nice.
First time probably below New Jersey. And that area, wonderful part of the country. Unfortunately, it's very expensive to live there. Mm. Everyone wants to be in that area.
Right.
Not too far from Silicon Valley, not too far from Napa Valley. Great, great chance to see a lot in just one area.
Was there something that you had in mind? Which are some of the spots you hit that you certainly don't regret that were on the back of your mind? You probably had a few spots you just thought, I better see that just to satisfy my curiosity. Or maybe you just went in every day just an adventure. I don't know. What did you see down there?
I jam-packed the whole day. So
my gosh.
You'll have to ask my partner in crime, Nicole, how busy it was. She thought it was just way too busy, but that's who I am. I got to see everything at once.
Sure.
Napa Valley, just how flat it is, how many grapes they have there, just that monoculture there. Of agriculture, but even learning different things because of the soil there, they grow about 10% of the grapes for wine in California, but they make about 15 to 20% of the amount of money for the sales just because the quality of the wine from the grapes, from the soil.
Right on.
The Exploratorium was built out on a pier, and it's a giant science museum, all about how science progressed and, great for grade 6 to grade 9 students. Unfortunately, a lot of them were there, so I couldn't see everything.
Yeah.
Didn't get to Alcatraz. That was a highlight for me. Painted Ladies, which are on the beginning of the Full House TV show, that was a highlight to me and to go see until I seen all the other tourists there.
Right.
Colt Tower, which is on Signal Hill. Nicole and I, we climbed up probably 1,000 steps to up through people's backyards, up this hill to get to this tower. Beautiful tower, parrots flying around, few forts.
Right.
The bridge, there's several bridges, but the Golden Gate Bridge over the Golden Gate's actually a strait. It's not the bridge. Beautiful bridge. They start painting it, and when they're done, they start over and painting again. they do a lot for that. At the foot of it is Fort Point. It was closed, unfortunately, because of the government shutdown in the U.S. there, but it's a beautifully preserved fort. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you have some Roman columns that were built up in the north end of the city in anticipation of the Pacific Expo in, I believe, 1912 to help fund tourism back to the city after the 1906 earthquake and the 3 days of fires after that. Mm-hmm. These giant Roman columns, giant pool out front, and just beautiful. You think you're almost, you know, in, you know, 900 Rome, 980 Rome, and that's where I gave a ring to Nicole, and she said
nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Good. What a wonderful vacation, mm-hmm. and wonderful things happen. Boy, just your excitement seeing all these places and then the life steps you made, it's a good news story. I like it. It's good. I'll have to think of all that in San Francisco.
It's a friendly tourist area,
yeah.
too.
Okay.
You know, you hear different people, you know, and having great experiences in New York City. But I felt really safe in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of unemployment there, a lot of people not being able to have housing. So there was a lot of sleeping on the streets. But I did feel totally safe there.
Yeah, yeah. Good news story. I like it. It's a good deal. And I'm glad that you took some time to explain that. That's the kind of stuff that's important. And I think a lot of people identify with travel plans, and they may like to go to San Francisco as well. I think we've done pretty good here. Anything else you want to add? Otherwise, we'll play another song here, your last song. Let's play this last song, and then we'll come back and do our final outie out for the show. What do you got tuned up for us here?
I have Dirk Bentley, Drunk on a Plane.
Okay.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, I got to see Dirk's last month
mm-hmm.
at the old Cops Coliseum.
I'm glad you thought of that as you got digging through. Okay.
Dirk's, he just has a lot of fun. He's just not a serious guy. He just bounces around the stage. he's a little kind of laid back, more or less, from the experience that I saw him live in this video. But this video is kind of a fun video of kind of a serious, sad issue of someone leaving you at the altar. But yeah, I'm not at this draw. The song's not about encouraging drinking, but just kind of a scenario that does happen to some people and making making it into an enjoyable song.
All right. Go ahead, click it on. We're right back, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you. We're right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking from up front here. Thanks for flying with us today at Riser Air. About a half an hour, I have our flight attendants out there with the full drink service, so feel free to make full use of that.
I know we will.
So y'all just sit on back and relax and enjoy your flight on Riser Air.
I took 2 weeks vacation for the honeymoon. A couple tickets all inclusive down in Cancun. I couldn't get my money back, so I'm in seat 7A. I'm getting drunk on a plane. I bet the fella on the aisle thought I was crazy. So I taped your picture to the seat back right beside me. Now I've got empty many bottles filling both our trays. I'm getting drunk on a plane. Fine drinks for everybody, but the pilot, it's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G6. Stewardess is some sexy leaning, pouring coke and whiskey. Told her about my condition, got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high, I may never come down. I'll try anything to drown out the pain. They all know why I'm getting drunk on a plane. We had this date marked on the calendar. That new wet limo airport ride together. I feel like a plastic groom alone there at the top. drunk on a plane.
Buying drinks for everybody but the pilot. It's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G6. Stewardess is something sexy, leaning, pouring coke and whiskey. Told her about my condition. Got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high, I may never come down. I'll try anything to drown out the pain. They all know why I'm getting drunk on a plane. First class, so I can drink that cheap champagne out of a real glass. And when we land, I'll call her up and tell her, kiss my ass. 'Cause hey, I'm drunk on a plane. Buying drinks for everybody but the pilot. It's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G6. Stewardess is something sexy, leaning, pouring coke and whiskey. Told her my condition, got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high, I may never come down. I'll try anything to drown out the pain. They all know why I'm getting drunk on a plane. I'm getting drunk on a plane. I might be passed out in the baggage claim. I'm drunk on a plane.
Hi, this is Mark Spuck from the Township of North Dumfries. We are streaming live on FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Ontario. We're on the Rogers Digital Network at 946 and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca. Catch podcasts of our past shows and visit our supporters page at the radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio podcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You're listening to the Agricultural Show with Jeff Stagger. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmers, producers in the region of Waterloo, and our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, compassion, and emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, this is Steve Ashton from Reeve & Company. You're listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS 102.7.
Okay, we're back, and thanks again for listening today, folks. Hope you enjoyed a couple hours with us. Today's guest, Barclay Knapp, and we've covered all kinds of cool stuff, and just glad you spent time with us. So we've had some great songs, by the way, Barclay. Good thing you threw in that last one there, like the concert you and your brother saw just last week, was it?
Last month.
Last month. Yeah. So this last section of the show was just kind of fun, give us kind of a good way to finish off. I'd like to ask my guest. So tell me, Barclay, what are you doing in the next 2 hours? And the next 2 days, and the next two weeks, two months, 2 years, 20 years, you want to go that far. What are you doing the next 2 hours?
Next 2 hours, go home and check on the barn cats and the beef cows, make sure they're doing okay and they got food. Probably have to put in a round bale for the cows. They love their hay.
Yeah, and I think they need it this kind of weather. They got some pretty cold days.
Well, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring with the snow. They're talking 10 centimeters or so. So
exactly. It's
best to get it out now in case you can't get anything, you need tractor started tomorrow.
And 2 days?
2 days? Well,
see, this is Tuesday, so it's still in the middle of the week yet. What do you got to do this week yet?
Well, I have about three boxes, banker boxes of junior farmer memorabilia to go through, slowly digitizing that, and then now, sorting it.
Do you do that at your home, or do you go to their little office or up and go off? Do you still have a little office up there yet? Or no?
That's provincial junior farmers, yeah.
Okay.
And, the alumni don't have an office, so
okay.
I just do it all at home, and got some space.
Okay. Well, you put a big effort into it. Yeah. They throw you a bone here and let you use a – I'm sure they wouldn't say no, but just let people know that you're working really hard at this and throw it out in on your table and away you go at it for a while.
Also this week I'll be working on my marketing material for my CSA.
Okay.
Got to work on that and finalizing the forms, get that on my website. And, yeah, put it out there for those that are wanting to look at me. And I highly encourage anyone that's listening to look at different CSA or farm shares.
Mm-hmm.
Waterloo and the area have plenty. So does Wellington County.
Right.
And, you know, in this area you're blessed, whether, you know, the CSA has a pickup or drop-off spot or at a corner or a mall or a farmer's market, or you go to the farm itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of us out there. We do different things. And some of us have different packages. And, yeah, just compare us, see what you like. And, you know, you get fresh food. I encourage farmers markets too, but, you know, sometimes you always can't make the market on the Saturday or the Wednesday night or whatever it is. And the CSA, you just put part of your schedule that, you know, after work or before supper, you just head on down and pick up your box.
Yeah, sounds like a great way to market stuff. And check that out. You got a web page? You got a web presence on the web for that?
Yeah.
You mentioned you're going to have it posted. You want to post something in the next 2 weeks. Give us a quick one. How does people contact you?
Well, Corwin, herbs and produce.ca. Corwin is being CORWHIN.
I'll put that on the post when we put the podcast up on the. Okay, Corwin.
Yep, Corwin's just the part of my township that I live in. Used to be an important train station. And now, because you have the automobile, you don't really need to take the train anymore. So it's just kind of a set of railway tracks going through a county road.
Right, that's next 2 weeks. You're going to get that up there for your customers to sign up and check out what they want.
Yep.
Let's see, 2 weeks, 2 months is, it should be spring. Yeah. Are you building the garden, do you think, planning? When do you start?
Very much. Well, I'll probably start as soon as probably April. I'll probably start,
March,
I have April. A lot of mulch on my garlic right now, and as soon as it warms up, the garlic will start sprouting. So I have to look at, you know, where it's sprouting and kind of move the mulch back a little bit so that it does have a better chance of breaking through the mulch. I do like the mulch. It keeps the weeds down, and it also provides some nutrients and fertilizer leaking into it as it decomposes.
Mm-hmm.
It does keep the soil from warming up as much because it holds moisture in, but it also, all the cold, the frost that we've had, especially November, December it first came, kind of slowed that down so it wouldn't quickly kill the bulbs.
Yeah.
You know, rhubarb, asparagus will be coming up pretty, you know, soon, May as well. And, you know, that's always a bonus. Asparagus is kind of a new crop on I have, so it's still waiting for that to blossom. So this will probably be my second year cutting.
Okay, that's 2 months to be maybe planting away there, and 2 years, I think you'll be way through that pile of junior farmer memorabilia by then.
I hope so. I'm hoping through in about a month, but
every
time I finish, someone brings out more and says,
right.
I have more history.
Wow.
And every county used to be separate up until 1944, where the provincial government encouraged that all the counties become joined in a provincial association to kind of spearhead and oversee the programming.
Mm-hmm.
But how every county developed, especially Waterloo with the activities they had, just it's incredible. The history there, you just got to find it.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff out there. Whether you got, boy, there's some of that stuff is archived in many different spots. We're trying to consolidate at the regional museum now, but there's all kinds of little collections in the townships and so on.
Yeah, well, even people's basements, even people's sheds. Even I remember getting minutes from Wellington County junior farmers back in the 80s. They had sit in someone's attic at one time, and fortunately, they had got moist and mold had gotten into it. And mold had gotten between the pages and stuck the pages together like glue. So, you couldn't even read what the minutes were.
Yeah.
So that was unfortunate, but the fact that it was, you know, was kept, that I guess was a highlight.
Right, I get you. And 20 years, man, do you want to even think about that? What's going to happen in 20 years?
I don't know. I plan for 1 year at a time.
I hear you.
As you've seen my spreadsheet, my computer, yeah, kind of my crop rotation and what I plan on growing. And, you know, every year I'm trying to incorporate some new knowledge I got from last year and just trial different methods of weed management, especially. I had to spend a lot of time pulling weeds last year. My girlfriend did not enjoy it, but that was just how the weather went.
That's right.
It just propagated
every time it rained, seed, just poof, and then it takes off, doesn't it? Yeah. Nothing holding them back. Warm soil and moisture. That's anything that would sprout within the top 2 inches was going. It seemed to be that way anyhow.
Well, weed seeds are very prolific about staying in the soil and just sitting there dormant.
Right.
I think I've read somewhere they've evolved, a lot of weed seeds have evolved to last 20 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you got it gone, and then you work up the soil the next year or later on for the next succession of, for planting, and you got more weed seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm trying different methods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against spray. I'm not going to say, you know, there's something, you know, we have to all use it either. We all have our own methods, and I'm trying to use methods that work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just doing different experimenting because there has to be a better methodology than just constantly pulling weeds.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true.
That just makes my production for vegetables that much higher.
Yeah, no kidding. It's just one thing you don't need, not from the work involved, plus the reduction in quality of crop and things. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Barkley, what a time we've had here. I just want to thank you again for coming out today and doing this. We got reconnected last week there, and it was certainly time to get up to date on what you're doing and what's going on, and certainly time for you to show off some of our stuff at our studio here. Hope you enjoyed our Facebook Live video feature, or you listened to us on the podcast. We're pre-recording this. It'll come out next Tuesday, or it'll be posted anyway, and you can listen to the thing. And so anyway, with that, Barkley, thanks so much for coming out.
No, thanks for talking to me last week and telling me to come out.
All right. And with that, folks, we'll see you in 6 days and 22 hours. And if you eat this week, thank a farmer. And if you're a farmer, thank a consumer.
Thank you for eating.
That's right. All right, folks. See you later. Bye for now.
Bye.